We have a quorum. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, let me describe where we're at in this process and stuff. I think everyone sitting up here, all five of us, understand that this is probably the most important thing that we're going to do in our tenure on the board. We also all understand that hiring is one of the hardest things that you can do. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but one of them is the fact that it's very difficult to tell really what a person is going to be like just by interviewing them and looking at a piece of paper that has their resume on it. So you have to try to discern what you can. References these days are pretty worthless because either people aren't allowed to give references, which is the norm in the private sector, or you don't get very good references, period, okay? So you have to go on, you know, what the person says, what the person does, what his work ethic has been like, and that kind of thing, and do the best you can. I've had a lot of success in my career, but I've made some mistakes too. I don't want to make a mistake here, so we're going to be very careful about how we do this, okay? And I'm sure all of us feel the same way up here. This is very important, and we want to get it right the first time. Okay. Where are we in the process? About a month and a half ago, we advertised for the position. The ad that we put together was put together by the previous board, so Director Howell and Director Steidel did not have any input into that. But it's pretty basic advertisement. It was part of the packet that we sent out on the meeting tonight. And it was just to get some resumes in, okay? And so we've accomplished that. We have about 10 resumes that we've collected so far. We may get more. We basically said in the advertisement that we were going to look at the resumes for the first time on January 31st, which is tomorrow, and that's probably what we're going to do. Outcome from today. I'd like to get as much input as we can as far as what the community feels is necessary for us to look at as far as a general manager goes. What do you think we should be looking for as far as qualities, skills, etc.? What do you think are the most important items? We had a lot of discussion about that at our board meetings and stuff, but we'd like to get input. Following that, we're going to look at next steps, and that's basically a discussion for the board. And if you want to chime in on that, you can. And as far as what we do next and how we proceed, we do have these resumes in, and we've got to do some follow-up with these people in the next week or so in order to let them know where we are in the process as well. Okay? So that's basically my idea. If any of the directors have other thoughts that they would like to convey at the time, now is the time. Director Rice.
I also just want to chime in because I'm the other member of the ad hoc committee for the GM recruitment with President Pearson. I'm on the committee with President Pearson for the GM recruitment, and so I think that we've got the resumes and we're going to be going forward and looking at them. I'm not sure how many places this was advertised and if we need to go further from what we've got because we haven't even looked at them yet. But I think that we want to hear from the community and from the other board members on going forward and qualities that would either specifically disqualify somebody or needed requirements for GM. So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? All right. I don't need slips on this one tonight. You don't need to turn in a slip. Christine did already, so we'll have her go first. But if you would like to speak, you can just raise your hand, and I'll recognize you, and you can come up to the dais. We are going to keep track of time, though, because I do want you to be as succinct as possible, and I would like you to obey the three-minute rule, okay? No, it's a special board meeting, but it's not in a town hall setup, as you can see. Okay, so you'll get plenty of chance to input. Okay, just keep raising your hand if you want to add something after somebody else did. Okay. All right. Let me see if I got my buttons straight here. Christine Heinrichs.
There. Okay. Thank you for holding this special meeting. I think that this will help a lot. It certainly bodes well for making a better choice. After two disappointing experiences with general managers, it's easy to see what Cambria doesn't want, but I'll leave that to others. Suffice it to say, let's not ever place ourselves in the position of paying someone to go away again. Cambria could have used that $127,842 paid to terminate Jerry Gruber in other ways. But who's counting? We're here to look at the new general manager. Let's get someone who appreciates Cambria's many strengths, understands the weaknesses, and is committed to finding solutions. This person needs to be congenial, willing to understand that the board makes policy and the general manager carries it out. In the past, directors often commented that Jerry wouldn't like thus and so, or Jerry won't let us do that. The board employs the general manager. Although it is certainly a fluid and should be a congenial relationship, the lines of responsibility are clear and should be observed on both sides. The general manager of the district is mainly responsible for water and sewer services. That's the basic. The person has to have up-to-date credentials in those utilities. But new technology is changing the way water and sewer services are handled. After the increasing complexity and cost of technology in the late 20th century, utilities management is changing to greener 21st century technologies. We need someone enthusiastic about new technologies and new applications of proven technologies that are local, biological, and ecological. Things like creating wetlands to process wastewater and recapturing the water to provide a truly dependable supply. Appreciating the forest and implementing the forest management plan for a more fire-resistant, healthy forest. The forest management plan was never implemented because previous boards and general managers didn't place forest health high enough on their priorities. They were willing to put Cambria into millions of dollars of debt for a complex water plant, but not a fraction of that on the forest. It's time for a general manager who values Cambria's setting and wants to enhance it. Cambria's general manager should live in Cambria. The board is willing to pay $250,000 in compensation for this position. Anyone worthy of that remuneration can afford to live here. Eliminate that $100 a month car allowance. The general manager needs to have skin in this game. And I've got more, but I'll raise my hand. Thanks.
I came up with... So I sent an email to all of you on January 3rd expressing my disappointment in the fact that you had advertised the position, like you said, a month and a half ago, President Pearson. And I found that really disturbing after all the comments that we've heard in the last several months of the last year, where the community felt that they had the right and wanted to be a part of the search process in some form or another, and to provide the input, which tonight you are giving us that opportunity, but I find that it's a month and a half too late. Again, the cart before the horse. It would have made much more sense to have a town hall with our input. Then you make your decisions based on some of that or all the input that you hear from the community. I've put together these thoughts, and I would say I agree very much with Christine Heinrich's comments, but I have add some new ones. First, I would advise that a new GM not be considered from the current staff. We need someone who is capable of taking a new look at the issues facing the district, not someone who will continue down the same path that has gotten us where we are today. CCSD needs a general manager who works with staff at all levels, someone who will spend time with staff in water and wastewater facilities and resources and the fire department. It would be desirable for a new GM to have a background in administration, finance, experience in water and wastewater treatment plants. The candidate should have, I believe, a college degree, at least a four-year college degree, from an accredited college or university. In the process, the board should have input from all staff to include those in water, wastewater, and facilities and resources, as well as the fire department. I think it's really important that the board, whoever the candidate or candidates that you're maybe deciding upon, that they get to talk to the various entities that make up the CCSD. I especially want to see in a new GM a greater sense of transparency to both the board and to the public, because we deserve nothing less, and we're not getting it, even now. I would hope that a new GM will live in our community to get a better sense of who we are and the needs of our community. That would eliminate the travel and $650 a month for gas and whatever. Hopefully, the candidate will have shown a level of success in achieving funding for projects, whether through state funding and or grants. A candidate for general manager must demonstrate full accountability for all reporting to government agencies and compliance with the rules and regulations. And lastly, a new general manager must observe and adhere to all Brown Act requirements required of either she or her or him. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, Leslie.
Leslie Richards, 32 resident, Cambria. I'm so happy to be here. This is wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity to speak concerning the GM. We've never had this opportunity in the past, the last two times. Two questions, just clarifying here what you talked about earlier. First, Director Rice, you're on the ad hoc committee, and you said that you're not sure where ads have gone. I find that a little disturbing. It would be nice to know exactly where the ads have gone, because I found one of them. It's the California Special Districts Association where one of the ads are, but I would like, if it would be possible, to broaden our scope. There's a lot of people across the country, and the reason I know this is because of, again, Director Rice's Water World. I happen to accidentally pick up a copy of this from the library's resale shop. It is Water World serving the municipal water wastewater industry .com, and this is Ms. Director Rice's actual document, Consultant Ace Solutions, P.O. Box. They didn't actually block out your number. I'm so sorry. I will tell the library not to do that. Usually they black this out. Yeah, this is a fantastic magazine, and it has all the cutting-edge individuals who are working in the industry across the country. Everybody wants to move to California. Why don't we expand the scope of your ad to go into this magazine as well? It would cover another, and it would also touch into what Ms. Heinrichs brought up about green wastewater and water systems and engineers. There is a lot of young people coming into the industry now who are very qualified or almost qualified to be in the position we're looking for our GM. So I've been known to think outside the box. So here is my outside the box thinking for you. I think we should expand the scope. What's the rush? Since you say it is one of the most important decisions we're going to be making here, I think we should take the time and energy to make that decision. The other point I want to bring up is President Pearson's comment on references are pretty worthless. I agree with that. What a person says and does is important. But work ethic was the number four on that line of group of things you brought up. Work ethic is the one I want to pinpoint here. We had no say, the community had no knowledge or say of any kind when Mr. Gruber was hired. And once he was hired, we were able to do a background check on him. And if I had been the person hiring Mr. Gruber after doing the background check, I probably would have hesitated because he had so much scandal attached to his two prior placements. The issues that were a problem with his prior placements were the problems that he had here in the district, but we still hired him for some interesting reason. So I think work ethics and a background check on the individual so that we don't go from a frying pan situation into the fire here. We don't need more problems for the district. And so we were all shocked when Mr. Gruber was seen as our general manager when he had these issues with staff and personnel at the previous place he had just come from. And it's called the Golden Carousel. I know that's the term that's used for this transfer from one agency to the next around the state of California, but it would be nice to get out of that rut. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Laura.
Good evening. Those three ladies are a hard act to follow. Mine is very simple. Okay, President Pearson, board, staff, and fellow Cambrians. Okay, Laura Swartz, 11 years a customer and an engaged citizen, as everybody seems to know. Okay, and I didn't know that where the ad came from, so let me read this and I understand. Because I want to acknowledge the time and effort the staff and ad hoc committee took to create the list of qualifications in the search for our new GM. I really appreciate the time on that. However, for me, there is one glaring omission, and this is in my opinion. The successful candidate, and I'm going to use successful candidate because in this world of correctness, I didn't know which pronoun to use. So I'll just say, the successful candidate should respect, appreciate, and have the knowledge of the environment that many of the citizens here hold near and dear. Again, when you're interviewing somebody, ask them, do you know what ESHA is? Do you know how it affects our village now and in the future? What is ESHA? So our successful candidate, I believe, also should be a member of our community, a resident, one that thrives or suffers with the decisions made. That means personally and financially. So if they're here, they live with us and they live with it. So in conclusion, I want our GM, I think you should have our, not he, she, whatever, should have respect for our natural beauty and special environment, live here to experience decisions made, naturally have the professional qualifications, especially financial ones that were listed, and also include any of the excellent things that our fellow residents had said to include that. So thank you for your time.
Good, thank you. Good point made by several people about living here. Cosby, come on up. Sorry, didn't see you at first. Pardon?
President Pearson, members of the board and staff, I find myself just repeating some of the points that have already been made. First of all, if I was in your position, I would definitely talk to the existing department supervisors and managers. These are the people that have to work with the general manager. Some of them have been through more than one general manager, and I'm sure they have some suggestions about what would be good qualities or what to look out for. Another thing that I'd like to see, we have in this community a bunch of diverse opinions about what to do on just about everything, and although the general manager doesn't have to agree with all of these opinions, he should be seriously interested in hearing what they are and explaining why he thinks we need to do what we need to do. In the past, there's been some hostility to some of the opinions that are expressed by the community. Another thing to consider is that we're going to be without the services of our district engineer, and I would be talking to general manager candidates about how they feel this skill requirement can be handled. And finally, to mirror some other comments here, this community is fortunate in having some wonderful open space and forests and so forth. It's really kind of makes the flavor of the community. And we need to have a general manager who at least is knowledgeable about what the requirements are for maintaining these forests and open space and their contribution not only to the visual beauty of the town, but to our health, to our air, and so forth. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
I just wanted to add a little bit to what I said.
Sure, go ahead.
I quickly put in the 12th point for all of you, but I didn't put it on my form, and that was that I really feel an advertisement needs to be put into the paper media. I think what Leslie brought up earlier, also that Amanda had put out, I'm not quite sure, but the CSD, I think that is also very good, but we need it here, maybe in the Tribune, as I think we've done that in the past for some positions. This is a really important position, and so it would seem that it needs to be more transparent in how we're actually advertising this. I find it interesting, we're having this meeting today, the 30th, and tomorrow will be, as President Pearson said, but the first time we're going to look at the resumes. 10 have come in so far. The next steps are some follow-up. In the next week or so, we want to let them know where we are. Well, there was no deadline listed on the website, for it said until position filled. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody is anticipating in a week after the website says that you're going to start looking them on January 31st. I don't think anybody's going to anticipate that they're going to be getting a call or an email saying, oh, well, we know this is, you know, we know you're in a hurry and blah, blah, blah. No, it needs to take time. It really does. I don't see a problem if Ms. Madrid is the acting general manager, although she does say general manager already, but acting general manager. And I don't see a problem if we have hired Mr. Ogren for 6 months. What this immediacy, I don't see the requirement for it. And I think, as someone else echoed, this really is the most important decision you will probably be making in your tenure as directors. And so why I heard that it was going to, you know, if Mr. Ogren's going to be here for 6 months or maybe five now, I don't understand that part of it. And I also think that the one thing that I would, if I was interviewing someone, I was researching their background, I'd want to know what happened to them in their previous employment that caused them to leave. Now, we know that in some cases we can't be told that, but I certainly found out enough at Big Bear on Mr. Gruber and in Atherton with my own research that the guy never would have been hired, period. And if I can do it just by doing a bunch of research, Googling, and contacting the local paper there, etc., I think that the board can do a pretty decent job. But I do think references are important, and I do think it's important for you to find out, well, what caused you to leave your last position? That's always a good question to ask. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Christine?
I'll go again. Water is Cambria's problem. Really, there's plenty for current residents. The only time water is a problem is for those who want Cambria to grow larger. Hire a general manager who understands that resources such as water are not unlimited, someone who'll be committed to being a good steward of what we've got, a general manager who understands that the responsibility of the position is to the entire community, residents, visitors, and wildlife. Streams need water to keep flowing. Martinez in the Bay Area has welcomed beavers to their local creek and wetlands. They've gotten an increase in biodiversity and stream health. Cambria needs a general manager who is willing to explore low-tech solutions to improving Cambria's natural ecology. High-tech solutions are expensive and tricky to operate. Cambria now pays $200,000 a year to a highly credentialed plant operator for the water plant, which is not operating. Individuals with that kind of credential are likely to move on to bigger, more challenging projects, leaving Cambria to start over. Highly trained individuals are required to manage the toxic chemicals and delicate processes in complex equipment. Cambria is a community of about 6,000 people. Let's hire a general manager who appreciates appropriate levels of technology that makes sense for our community. Highly complex projects suck up electrical power, adding to Cambria's carbon footprint, loading more greenhouse gases on our warming planet. Let's hire a general manager who is committed to making Cambria carbon neutral. San Luis Obispo is on track to be carbon neutral in 2035. Cambria, with the right leadership, can be there before that. Let's get some excitement behind being an example of 21st century water use to California and the world. Everyone was proud when Cambria led the state in water conservation during the drought. Let's make this permanent. Instead of seeing porta-potties and bottled water and gray water as trials we are enduring, make smart water use Cambria's signature and brand. Thank you.
Thank you. Leslie Richards.
The California Special Districts Association's ad has a deadline on it. It says closing soon. So just a heads up on that. It appears that you're not taking any more applications. Is that correct? On the ad, it says closing soon, and it has a deadline as of today.
What? Oh.
California Special Districts Association, General Manager, Cambria Community Service District, closing soon. So is there a deadline for this or not is my question to you. The other question I have is, has Mr. Ogren put an application in for the position since his tenure is up, I thought, in Oceano at some time in the near future?
I don't think I can comment on that.
Okay, so...
I can comment on his tenure, July 2000.
Oh, but whether he's put in an application or not, I don't think I can comment on that yet.
You can't comment if Pava Ogren's put in an application for the permanent GM of the CCSD?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, I think we're going to make all the resumes that we've received, okay, public at the same time. So I don't want to...
When will the resumes be public?
After the ad hoc committee reviews them in the next couple of days.
Okay.
And no, we don't intend for that to be closed. So if that's what it says, we need to change that.
So, and this is from yesterday.
But it doesn't have a date on it?
It has the actual, this is the cover page, and then there's your actual documents attached that talks about the 31st, January 31st.
Okay. So it says that we're going to be reviewing January 31st, the first review or something like
right.
that.
Right. It just, it's 31st. Odd. It says closing soon yeah. on the, it's got a red tag on this kind of panic screen.
We'll fix that.
Okay.
I think I can explain it. It's a 30-day ad, and we'll have to renew the ad.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was put on December 17th, so you supposedly have already renewed it? Oops. Okay.
My apologies. It's a 45-day ad.
Thank you.
Director Howell.
The ad that's in... Can you hear me? Can you all hear me? Yeah. the ad that's in the on the agenda packet, is that that was the one that was published?
Yes.
And it only says the first review will occur on the 31st. It doesn't say that we're going to stop
close.
Receiving.
Right.
So that may have been added by the wherever the ads were published.
Right. CSDA is probably saying, okay, your time is running out, so we're going to close it whether you want to or not. So we'll just have to redo that. All right. General discussion by the board. Lots of good input there. As I said, the next step that I saw was for the ad hoc committee, myself and Director Rice, to review what we've got and maybe make a first cut as far as eliminating those that are just not qualified, okay? Didn't meet the minimum qualifications that we put in the ad, for instance. And then from there, I'm not sure where we want to go. I guess, Director Rice?
If I can back up just a step, when I say I don't know specifically where all the ads were placed, because we did say Western Cities, CSDA, because we know CSDA has a good job board, but I don't, and then we said to staff, we're not HR. Where else do you usually place ads? And so that's kind of what I meant by that. And so they may have posted it at other places. I would like to see that we get more resumes in so we have a good variety. And I don't think that any of us are in a huge rush, which is one of the reasons why we've got why we entered into an agreement with Paavo Ogren to help us out, and why we are being well served right now by Acting General Manager Madrid. So I think that none of us are in a giant race, but we also wanted to get the process started. Getting the process started doesn't mean, though, that we couldn't do some further outreach. And people have come to this lectern since I've been on this board and said things like, there's a lot of great people in this town. Maybe there's somebody in town that would do it. Well, if you know somebody, tell them to send their resume and a cover letter. Show them the ad on our website. Let them know if you know of somebody that's outside the area that might be good for us. And you, because the people looking at the ads are people that are thinking of making a change in their job, or they are looking for a job. There's plenty of good people out there that aren't on the golden carousel, as Leslie put it, who might be interested in working here, but hadn't really been thinking about looking for work elsewhere yet. So those are the kind of people that are harder to reach. So if you know them, push the send button on an email to them and show them where the link is on our site. And because I think that it is important that they know we're starting to review the resumes, but there isn't a deadline as far as I'm concerned. It's just giving them a time frame of what it is that we're expecting timing-wise. A couple of other comments, and then we can continue the discussion. I appreciate the comments about being a good steward and having a good work ethic. I'm not exactly sure how you determine that from an interview or from a resume. So I'm open to ideas. We're not at that stage yet, but I definitely think those are important qualities. I don't think that we're going to probably undertake our own individual background checks, but a quick Google search might eliminate one or two people, but I'm assuming that we would have a professional background check on anyone who we were considering signing a contract with. I also think that, correct me if I'm wrong, it's against the law to require somebody to live in the town that where they work. Is that California state law, right? It was passed by the voters, I believe. So it would be nice if it was somebody who was willing to live in town. I agree, but it's not something that we can require by law.
Yeah, and I also think that it's tough to make that a disqualification for whatever reason. Anyone else? Yes, Director. Oh, okay.
Okay, cool. You know, it's funny, just to show you how my mind was operating during comment. First off, I want to say everyone that got up and commented had a slightly different way of perceiving the way the board should approach, the district should approach hiring a general manager. And I really appreciate what everybody said. It was like if you put it all in a pot together, you know, made a stew out of it, it'd be really tasty and just the right way of, in many ways, of approaching seeking the best general manager that we could possibly have. Getting back to how my word mind works, at some point when Leslie was up and she was commenting on the application process, so to speak, and she said, closing soon, and she used this something like a red tag. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, oh, it's an ad for a furniture store that never closes. But, you know, anyway, that's just how, just want to add a little levity to the evening. But, so I just want to, if nobody minds, I kind of took the time to do basically the same thing that many folks did that got up and spoke here this afternoon. And I hadn't even... I picked this up a few days ago, but I hadn't really even looked at what was in the agenda packet. This is what I wrote down, and some of it is similar to what's in here. Some of it is very similar to what folks who are in the audience who have commented have said. So these are my remarks. This is what I'm looking for, and hopefully this is a valid thing to do. So I'll just go through what I wrote down as I wrote it down. Due to the ongoing financial challenges facing the district, the wise use of ratepayers' money, fiscal responsibility, and accountability is an absolute priority. The ability and desire to cultivate a sense of trust and openness with all employees and staff, and therefore a more harmonious workplace in all areas of district operations, is a must as well. Ideally, we'd want someone who sees the challenges facing the district and therefore the community as an opportunity to tackle and solve problems, to bring out the best in those working under him or her, someone who sees working with the board as a partnership that ultimately serves the best interests of the district, the townspeople, the residents, and the businesses of Cambria. In addition, a harmonious working relationship with various local, state, and even federal regulatory agencies would be a welcome change. Above all, we need someone of honesty and integrity, a person who cultivates trust, treats others with dignity and respect, and therefore commands respect as well, who is committed to doing their best and appreciates the good fortune and to serve and hopefully live in and make a long-term commitment to our great little community that we are blessed to call home. You know, I realize that, you know, I'm kind of setting the bar high here, but this community needs it, this community and this board deserves it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Yes, Mr. Director Howell.
A couple of questions. First of all, I don't have much to add to what everyone has said. These are all qualities that anyone would desire, I think. I do have a couple of questions. One, the issue about while we may not require that someone live here, there are arguments for selecting someone with greater or lesser familiarity with the community, someone who is at least familiar with the factions that are in the town and what these the various issues that are concerning people. That could be considered a plus, but it could also be considered a minus. I don't have an opinion. I was just hoping that I would hear more from others as to whether it's more desirable under our current situation to have a neutral party, as it were, from outside versus someone who may know people in the district. It's just a question I have, and as I said, I don't have an opinion, but I'd like to hear more about that. The other thing is, in terms of our time frame, I do understand that we have a limitation as far as the acting general manager goes. There's a limit as to how far we can have Ms. Madrid fill that position without giving her I mean, she's acting right now, you know, but there's an actual statutory limit as to how long that can go on. So I don't know whether this has been discussed amongst. I believe it is possible that even if we were to arrive near the end of that deadline and we still had no one, we could hire an interim general manager. In fact, I would kind of recommend that that might be something to be considered, just in general, where you have an organization that maybe needs to recalibrate itself. Sometimes it is possible that you actually hire someone who's expert at that, and then they're not planning to stay, you don't expect them to stay, but you plan that when they leave, we'll be in a better place. So that's a possibility. I'd like to know from the other members of the board how you view, I mean, that is the question, what is the rush? And I think the longer we take on this process, the better off we'll be. But what actually are our limitations as you see them? You know, if I may ask you all. No, sorry.
Thank you. It's okay. Couple things. Oh.
In going through and taking a look at the information that was part of what the advertisement was, there were just a couple of things that I wanted to flesh out a little bit, because some of it has soft terminology, and it doesn't necessarily describe either the intent or the significance with which the requirement exists. And one of the things was the understand the importance of communication. And that's such a subjective statement that I think that we need to be thinking more strongly in terms of possessing the ability to communicate effectively and foster programs that enhance community trust and advance transparent government. The promote policies part of that third bullet, I don't know that it's the job of the general manager to promote policies. The board is establishing policies, but it's implementing those policies within the direction of the board. So I would suggest that probably isn't something that would necessarily be part of the definition. And the last bullet, in maintaining the cooperative working relationships with various public agencies, I think, and they are, many of them are listed there, but other groups is pretty tenuous in terms of its definition, and I think that we could help drive that a little bit, because I read other groups to be community stakeholders, and I think that's something that we, you know, I think everyone is in agreement that that kind of communication with community stakeholders is of vast importance to us. I agree with many of the comments that were made this afternoon or this evening, and feel that we have the opportunity to go forward in a much stronger position maybe than we have before, and take into consideration the things that have been said here. And I agree also that we can probably take a little bit of time to do this, that getting additional, you know, potentially getting additional resumes in, or taking the avenue of advertising in the periodical that was listed is probably worthwhile. And it is. It's going to be probably the most significant decision that the board has to make.
Okay, thank you. Couple of comments. First, I agree there is no rush to judgment that's going to happen here. There have been several times in my career when we advertised for a position and we interviewed people and we didn't find a person that fit. So we advertised again. And if that's what we have to do, that's what we'll do. We will search until we find somebody that meets the requirements that we have. Now, somebody that meets all the requirements that all of us have probably left the earth 2,000 years ago. So I'm not sure we're going to be able to have everything that we would like, but I think we can get a lot of the things that we want to have, okay? One of the things that was brought up is that we could advertise outside the state more and across the country. I'm not against that, but anyone coming to California who has not dealt with the regulations, the requirements, the laws, et cetera, of California is going to be way behind the curve. And I think that that person is, would have to be really superior in order to pick up and be able to understand how all of the agencies work and get to that point quickly. So yes, we can certainly do that. But I think a candidate who has had experience with water and wastewater, or at least with the rules and regulations and laws of California, is going to have a leg up on anybody coming from the East Coast or something like that. I really do. Okay? I'll get to you in a minute. So we're going to look at the resumes that we have, and we're going to stay in contact with those people and make sure that we don't lose any of the good people that have put resumes in. And we may hold some interviews, and we can call them preliminary interviews or whatever, to talk to those people to see if they are of the right level that we can have a second go-around or whatever. But if we don't stay in contact with those people and move along, one of two things happens. One, they find another job, okay, which if we've got somebody that's really well qualified, we don't want them to take another job. We want them here. And the second is that if we don't move with all due speed, okay, then they'll go, these people don't know how to make a decision. I don't want to work there anyway, okay? So we have to be careful as to how long we take. And at the same time, we need to be in proper communication with these people, and I think Director Rice and I can take care of that. Okay. Anyone want to follow up with what they had to say? Yes, Director Steidel.
Something that I hadn't mentioned and I wanted to acknowledge was the recommendation that the staff heads of the enterprises be involved in the interview process. It probably wouldn't be something that would be the preliminary, but maybe as a secondary cycle to consider that they are part of that process so that they have the opportunity to get a feel for the individual and whether they recognize the significance of those different elements of their responsibility.
Good. Director Rice.
First, time constraints. You were speaking to the constraints on having Ms. Madrid be acting GM. Do we have any, is there any information that you can give us regarding that constraint?
It's 960 hours.
Which is?
About 6 months.
Okay. Thank you. That's a helpful piece of information. On the ad and the input that you gave on specifically Director Steidel, one of the things that the previous board has not yet done, that did not do, and that will still need to be done is a more thorough job description, which is where some of those more solid things need to be. We went with things that were more general for the ad for purposes of trying to cast as wide a net as was reasonable for what we're looking for. But I do agree with some of the comments that you made about that, but that's the ad and not the job description, which we do still need to work on honing from it what it had been. If there are things we want to reprioritize or add or take away in that job description as it is right now. So I just wanted to be clear on that. And then on the widening the search nationally, I think that you're also assuming that those are not people that used to live in California and maybe they had to leave California, so they might want to come back, so they may have some experience, so there may be some benefit to doing that. I'm conscious that we want to make sure that what we're getting is the right person, but we are also in a situation where we need to have somebody so that we can drive the things forward that need to be picked up and moving, and so that we have the right, so that going forward we've got a good roadmap, and I think that that's part of what the board needs to do. What I'd be curious to hear from the directors that are not part of the ad hoc committee is how they feel about us honing down or whittling down to ones that are just the qualified, or, I mean, because I'm not even sure next steps of what how the rest of the board feels about that.
Yeah, Director Howell.
Yeah, I can respond to that directly. I'd like to at least see the resumes, but I really, being a newbie on the board and not having, I mean, I'm still basically trying to keep above water here. I'd like to see them, but I don't think I would feel qualified to pass on their suitability, but I would like to know who they are. I think it would be good education for me in any case, and possibly, well, yes, so that's my short answer to that one.
I wouldn't have any problem with that first cut happening if it's a matter of them not meeting the qualifications of what the job position was, then I think that probably at least could be an elimination. The other thing I'd suggest is if we are going to take something out of state, in your reference to that the advertisement then carry some additional information about the requirement for familiarity with California state
Okay. Ms. Dickerson, would you like to comment at this point?
Thank you, President Pearson. I am really confused by what directors are saying regarding advertising. On the one hand, I'm hearing whether you should advertise state and nationally. On the other hand, as Director Rice said, let your friends know, let people in the community know. For goodness sakes, don't you think the first thing we might do is put an ad in the local paper or papers? I mean, if you want local people, go to your local media. That has not happened. So that, I mean, to go state and nationwide before you actually address it right here in this county is quite remarkable. Thank you for asking President Rice about the statute, and actually Director Howell for bringing it up, but what the statute of limitations is, and Acting General Manager ends at that 6 months. So that would be 6 months from what date when you took over, when she took over? Pardon? We need to know what the beginning date is.
It was the beginning of December, right? Sometime the beginning of December. October 12th? Okay.
Okay, because that really is an issue you guys have to deal with, okay? So the other thing with the advertising, we have no problem advertising for water and wastewater folks. You see the ads in the Tribune all the time. So this is the most important decision, as you all pretty much said. So don't you think it deserves at least as much as employees in our water and wastewater? And I want to say this too. One of my daughters, who's at a postdoc at USC, was just interviewed for a tenure track position at a very good school in University in Washington, D.C. And it was done by Skype. Interview. This is very common now, where you don't have to bring, you know, a serious candidate out for the expense and blah blah blah. This is really, really common, where you save. It's nothing. It doesn't cost anything. So that's one thing too that you may want to consider. But President Pearson, on one hand, I'm hearing you say we don't want to rush this, and then just a little while ago, you said, you know, we need to get to this as soon as possible. So I think now you know that you basically have a month and a half, if that, for Ms. Madrid to act as acting manager. These are things that you should have been, like, out there, you know,
right away. And the only other thing I would say was in the required qualifications, you're asking for a minimum of a bachelor's degree and 5 years of management supervisory experience, preferably in local government, is required. A master's degree and experience in a smaller and or rural community is preferred. I don't get that language at all. A background in economic development, finance, and community consensus building is desired, or any combination of education experience which would likely provide the necessary knowledge and abilities. Well, then how can you ask that a minimum of a bachelor's degree is required if you're going to say or any combination? It's either any combination, or you just say it's preferred to have that degree, but you can't just say it's a minimum and then go to or any combination. I think the wording in required qualifications needs to be seriously looked at. We do have an English teacher on the committee. And by the way, as far as ad hoc, I think every single one of you directors should be involved in this. It's not just about two people making a decision for this board. Every single one of you needs to be a part of this, I think. Thank you.
Yeah, the ad hoc committee is just to do the search and stuff. The other directors are certainly going to be in the interviews and making the final decisions. So that's not our objective. Yes, Michael?
Great input from the community. A lot of very good and important comments to me. I sort of been thinking about it and breaking it down. There are fundamental blocking and tackling management skills that are required to run an organization. But as I listened, particularly to things about people bringing vision and looking at new technologies and all of those things, conversations about setting and directing policy, are we not looking for multiple people here? I don't know that there's anybody, as you alluded to, who can fulfill all of those things. I was struck by Director Howell's comment about sort of an interim thing, more so by Director Rice's follow-up about doing the things we need to do now. There's a short-term window of whatever it is, 18 months, 2 years, with very specific tasks and objectives that need to be met. I would hire somebody who could get that done. However, if we're looking for somebody to bring all of these other initiatives in and all these other sort of soft skills in communication and community building and all that, that may be a longer-term thing. So if you're interviewing folks, do you want a innovative, forward-thinking, creative person who can come in and say, this is what's going on in the world of water, wastewater, infrastructure, all of that? Or I'm going to come in and I'm going to manage this district. I'm going to look at budgets. I'm going to look at personnel. I'm going to look at HR. I'm going to look at infrastructure. I'm going to look at all the blocking and tackling things. They could be very different skill sets. The third part of that was it's still soft in my mind. Is the board going to be the governing body that sets policy, direction, and vision? Or are you looking for this position of general manager? You might want to change the name then. To be that visionary to bring to the community all of these great and wonderful things for consideration. So the more I hear, the more I think, you know, taking the right amount of time to sort those specific things out might be helpful, and there may be a short-term, mid-term, and long-term solution for this position. Just a thought. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. All right, Dr. Howell.
Two things. Since we're hearing from the community members who are here, who therefore we have to assume are the ones that care enough to come, that at least a few of them are willing for us to spend their money to advertise in the local papers. So if that really is the sense that the committee wants us to take their money and buy ads in the Cambrian and the Tribune, then we probably should do that. Now, I don't know. We've only heard a few speak. Could we take a show of hands on that? Mm-hmm. It's not an official act.
No, it's not expensive, so I think we can certainly afford to do it in the local papers.
I think the local papers also probably have had the story about us not having a GM, and so probably anybody that reads the papers is aware of the...
Yeah, is aware there's an opening. But in any case... Yeah, putting it in the paper is fine. Okay, that's not normally where you find people of this ilk, but that's fine. We can go ahead and put it in the paper.
Okay.
Director Rice.
Oh, I had one addition, but no, it's a different subject.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to kind of, Mr. Calderwood brought some things to mind. I was kind of noticing we're hearing a lot about a general manager needing to have a vision to lead us forward. And I'm a little unclear, because one sense, if you say, well, the general manager keeps the ship afloat and keeps the engines working, but it's up to the board to steer the boat, then it's the board that needs the vision, not the general manager. The general manager's job is to implement whatever the vision is, and if the community doesn't like the vision, they elect another board. Now, that would be one approach. The other is where we hire somebody as a resource who inspires us with some kind of vision. So I think maybe it is getting a little confused in there. Similarly, so what we, in my opinion, what we need is someone skilled at management, and skilled at managing a complex organization, a fair number of people, with departments which are each have their own and somewhat different requirements, and all the personalities involved. And that's a skill in itself. And then, in addition, the knowledge of the regulatory environment that we're in and the relationship with the regulatory bodies that enable the vision to be carried out. But it needs to be the board's vision, yeah. So that was one issue that I wanted. I think that Mr. Calderwood did bring it up. We are really talking about a multitude of things here, and we might want someone to come and inspire us about water technologies or what. But that might be different from a manager who's out there just making sure that the engines are running and the ship is staying above water. So, yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Director Rice.
That was an excellent distinction. Did you want to?
I'll second that. Yes, and that was my thank you. Thank you, Mr. Calder.
I think I would love to have a genius muse who could also run everything so that I could just make sure that that's what was happening. But so one of the things that when we were looking, and by we I mean the board that at the time, and I don't even remember, I'm sorry, Director Farmer, if you were on the board at the time when we had to hire a new fire chief. And the board at that time, the general manager had decided to hire an executive search firm. And the board said, no, we don't want to spend that money doing it that way, which is, and that's, so that's, that wasn't even really on the table for this. But that was also a different board, a different group of people, and I think that it's important that we, at least, I ask the question whether we need to be hiring somebody to help us in this search or not. The community spoke very clearly; they didn't think that we should do that for the fire chief. But this is a very different situation, and I'd like to hear if any of the board members have a thought about that, even though we're kind of already into the process.
I can weigh in on that one first. My experience with those firms is not good, and they're very expensive, and so I would be reluctant, very reluctant, to spend that money and do it that way. I think, based upon what I've seen and the resumes that we've gotten, we are getting good candidates with the advertising that we're doing. Okay, I don't know if we have the person yet, but we are getting good resumes. And if we open it up to the rest of the country, we'll get maybe more great resumes and stuff. So that's fine. But the executive search, I think is poor use of money. Okay. Director Al,
Well, I just want to say that I appreciate the various approaches that folks have taken. Michael Calderwood and Christine Heinrich, the first and last person that spoke, in many ways kind of had a similar outlook on how we proceed in finding someone and the type of person we would be looking for. And I appreciate the fact that the board needs to provide the board should be the entity that provides the vision to the general manager, and he implements that while making sure, as Director Howell said, that the ship is functioning properly and moving in the right direction. I just want to say, Director Rice, former president, and now Director Rice, said that we need to hire someone who can drive things forward. I guess that depends on how we want to drive the ship forward and what are the priorities in making sure that everything operates correctly. You know, my personal feeling is that what I'm hoping for in someone who's a general manager is someone that is an honest person, someone that I know personally that I can trust, that I can look this person in the eye and shake their hand and know that their word is their bond. And to me, that's, first and foremost with regard to how you approach people in general. And that's how I feel. And I certainly hope, President Pearson said earlier that the person, if we set these really high standards, the person that will meet those standards, left this earth 2,000 years ago. I don't want to get spiritual or religious or metaphysical or anything, but if we believe in a second coming, well, this person's probably, it's a really difficult time. That person's already here on the planet. Well, where else would this person, he or she, want to live in these times and tackle the challenges that exist? So I'm keeping my fingers and toes crossed that this happens. Thank you.
Very good, very good. Okay. Tina, you want to speak again?
Just very quickly. I probably shouldn't say this, but since you said that, maybe Pope Francis can apply for this position. He's the closest one. But I would like to also say, on a more serious note, that what Director Farmer just said to me, after living, or not living here, 21 years, but really paying attention to the CCSD, if there's one thing I would ask for, is trust, transparency, and know that we were not being lied to. Because I am sick and tired of the lies. And if we don't stop the lying, we're never going to get anywhere. It will not get us anywhere. And it is still going on. So I appreciate Director Farmer's, Vice President Farmer. I'm used to having the Vice President usually sitting here. I don't know why he's sitting there, but whatever. So that, to me, if you don't have somebody with integrity and that we can trust, then folks, forget it. It just isn't going to work. That's the number one thing. And then the rest of what everybody's, I think you've had some wonderful input tonight from the community. And it wasn't very many here, but I think some really good input. So hopefully you'll take our comments and our thoughts into consideration before you, as you go through this process, and hopefully it will all come out to help this community, which we are in dire need of. Thank you.
Good. Okay. I'd like to broach the next subject. You got one more thing?
Put a cap on this one here. Just wanted to raise something here. I happened to be cleaning out my living room this morning, or yesterday, and I noticed in the Bay News from December 6th, an article about the Morro Bay city manager earning a raise. What interested me here is that the Morro Bay City Council devised a whole series of, what do they call it, an 8-page evaluation form. This might be something that we should look at, because it really, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, and it, from just this little excerpt, which I'll show you later, I'm not going to take time to read it now, but they show five areas of that are of concern, and then each of those has certain things within it. Just simple example. For example, in one category called community, there's several subcategories, such as, for example, avoiding unnecessary controversy, kind of important. helping the council, in this case the board, address future needs and develop adequate plans to address long-term plans. I suggest that I'm going to try to see if I can find the whole document and give it to you all and maybe make it available to the community as well, because it really seems like a very valuable tool that we might be able to modify for our own uses.
Good. Yeah, the other thing besides the job description that we were kind of discussing back in October or so was the contract that we're going to be signing with him. And that's something that we're going to have to work on and negotiate with the successful candidate to get through. And part of that should be the review process and what we're going to review that person on. I mean, that's just the way you do things. Okay, the thing I was going to bring up next is the interview process itself. For discussion as to whether we should be doing that in closed session or an open session, the actual interviews of people eventually, the final candidates, so to speak, that we come up with. Okay? Anybody want to weigh in on that one? First? Yes, Director Allen.
I think you know my opinion. I believe that everything that can be legally in public should be. And in this case, I think that because this is a matter of such importance to the community, I think whatever candidates that we are interviewing should not be afraid to sit here in front of the community and be interviewed, you know, rather than just behind closed doors and then we trot somebody out. We might want to do preliminary, but when you have a short list, I think that is highly reasonable. That we, if it's legal, I think we should have the community at least able to observe, possibly even ask questions themselves. I don't know. But.
Okay. Yeah, that was the next question, is who's going to be on the interview board. Okay. But, yes, Ms. Seidel.
I think probably some preliminary interviews and the interviews potentially with immediate staffs of the enterprises would need to happen first, so you do get it to a short list, because I think having any significant number of people that would have to be answering questions from the community could be a very difficult process, and you probably want to be spending all of our time and the community's time on people who are serious candidates for the position. So that was the only qualification I think that I'd add to it.
Okay. Anyone?
Yeah, I was in fact, that was what I was thinking is Director Steidel was saying it, that having at least department heads and people that do help in a very responsible fashion, the operation of the district should also be involved in the interview process as well, for sure.
Okay. All right, so...
Can we allow public comment on that?
Yeah, sure.
Be wrong on this, but contract negotiations have to be closed sessions, I assume. But actually, the interviews for the GM, I don't see why that would have to be closed sessions. In fact, the committee was not involved with the negotiations for Pavan Ogren. He was just in closed session hired for a 6 months contract. And there was a lot of blowback from that, unhappy about the way that it was just business as usual. An individual was just brought in, closed session contract negotiation, and then put in the position without other individuals even being aware of this. $100,000 contract with $270,000 contract, but still, that was a tad alarming, as in the old style, behind-the-scene backdoor operations of the old district. So I think that you're bringing this point up, President Pearson, is very important to the community for just that reason. Yes, I think it has to be open to the community. Now, I know that contract negotiations cannot be. I understand that that legally cannot be open public, but the rest of this, if you do not open the public, it's going to be questions of what the process is all about here. So... You close this to the public, you're going to be shooting yourselves in the foot. It's just business as usual at that point. There's a lot of distrust still, and we're trying to trust the new board. We're trying to trust the new direction. And so help us here. But again, the hiring of a six-month contract for $70,000 with no review by the individual of the community at all, that was pretty much of a shocker. I think you have a very qualified general manager sitting right there that could have done the job for 6 months. I don't even know why we have a special advisor at this cost. So careful here. I say you need to be open to the public, 100%. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Michael.
Just a quick devil's advocate to Leslie's point. There's a distinct difference between hiring an employee and electing an official. You've been elected as the officials to make these types of decisions, and we need to have the faith and confidence in your judgment to do that. I get the transparency part. I get the community input. But I think, you know, I don't know if there's a legal issue there or not. There may be. But just we elected you guys to make these decisions and to run this district. And I, as one, trust your judgment to do that. As far as community input in the interview process, perhaps a group of community members with experience and interest might be part of that interview process at some point, which might assuage some of the feelings of perhaps not enough transparency. One way to think about it. But at the end of the day, it's up to you guys.
Yeah, I think the final decision, we all agree up here, is going to be made by us. But we'd like to get as much input as we can. And we don't have our legal counsel here, but I think that it is permissible to have the interviews in open session. My only reservation on that is purely on the applicant side, that you might not get an applicant who wants to go through that kind of public grilling, be it televised, et cetera, et cetera. So,
quick comment on that. And you may be right,
but just observing nationally our politics recently, where the judicial committee or one of the committees was interviewing, was a judicial committee, Barr, who, for attorney general. That means televised for the public, but the public does not get to ask the questions. It's the committee. In this case, it would be the board. I think it could really go kind of, I don't know what would happen, but if it's open totally to the public for questioning the candidate,
yeah, I agree. That'd be tough.
I have to say, but I would also say that the decisions made by previous boards obviously have not brought us to a very good place. So, you know, I think we've tried to help you tonight, and maybe people will write in or make comments by email or whatever, but, yeah, legal counsel, I think, would be a good person to address on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, here's a case where the public has helped me change my mind a little bit. Here's what I think. I think the interviews, if at all possible, should be in open meetings. But I have changed my position on that. I do not think the public should be allowed to ask questions of the interviewee. Now, what will happen is, and maybe we even want that to happen, is if the public sees these, and they may have candidates that they like, they will lobby us. Mm-hmm. And that's what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, but I agree. So I stand my position a little bit off there. But I do think, if at all possible, if we're going to interview them, let's do it in open.
Yeah, I think we got to check with legal counsel just to make sure we're okay.
Could we submit a written question maybe and present it to the board?
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you can certainly send us anytime you want to now, if you want to send it either to Director Rice or myself, questions that you think should be part of the interview, or if you think of something after the meeting is over that you think we should know about, please email us and let us know. Okay, that it's going to be a process, and we will accept all kinds of input until the final day when we swear the guy in. Okay.
Guy.
Guy is generic.
Yes, generically. Generically.
Yeah,
dude.
Shoot. Dude, like dude, okay. Says director's day.
Yes, Christine.
Just a few more comments on this subject of transparency and public involvement. I think you should all save yourselves some headaches and conduct this process openly. And also, you know, the contract negotiations may have to be in closed session, but the last general manager had so many sweetheart provisions that were really expensive to the community, that were completely unjustified. No one in the community could have supported that had they known in advance that those were going to be extended to this person. I think that these issues can be made public to the greatest extent possible. And I just hearing Michael talk about, well, you could make that decision. You don't have to. I just thought, oh man, remember when they fired the fire chief? You know, I mean, it would be torches, and I think there would be a lot of members of the community very upset if this is done behind closed doors. Thanks.
Good. Director Rice.
So I'm going to repeat something that folks already said, but I want to repeat it because I think it bears repeating. We were elected to represent this community as a whole, not a particular segment, but everybody in the town. And it's important that if you have thoughts on this, whether you're watching at home or you are here in the room, please reach out to the director you feel most comfortable sharing with. The ad hoc committee is President Pearson and I, but any board member is a good person to talk to. I know that when the Senate has hearings for confirmation, I'd know somebody that contacts her senator and says, you're interviewing the person for such and such. Here's what you need to be in. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to be asking. Do the questions always get asked? Probably not. But some of them probably do, and it helps better inform the elected officials about something that maybe they didn't know. I think the final interview, meaning once we've narrowed it down to such a degree that we're at one or two or three people, definitely needs to be public if it's a process that we can be doing publicly. I'd like to see us put together an interview panel. I know that the previous general manager had served on several different interview panels at different districts, so I don't know how that might be comprised or undertaken, but I don't think it's a bad idea to have a panel of folks. It might include just the heads of the different departments. I mean, I as a teacher, I would have been over the moon to be able to give some input on what I wanted to see for a principal. I mean.
Right. Yeah, I think staff certainly needs to be involved in the interview process, at least in the preliminary interviews. And I think when we set up the interview process, there would be maybe two different interview panels, and the person would go from one to the other, and then we would go through the cycle, and then those two groups would get together, compare notes, and decide, you know, mm-hmm. okay, this one's a yes, this one's a no, and go from there. What's our next step?
I just had one more point. On the contract negotiations, which are generally conducted in closed session, the contract itself, though, must be approved in open session at a noticed meeting. And so when the previous general manager's contract came before the board for approval, that's when the public had a chance to have input. And there were multiple things going on there. But I want to be clear that negotiations may be in closed session, but we can't approve a contract in closed session. It has to be public.
Okay, Vice President Farmer.
I just want to make one brief comment. With the healthy skepticism of many members of this community with regard to how this process will take place versus the previous process when General Manager Gruber was hired, this is my own personal feeling as a member of the community when General Manager Gruber was hired. The board at that time was kind of, like I said, this is my opinion, was somewhat of one mindset. And it wasn't a very flexible one. And to me, it had a certain agenda about it. That's not necessarily how this particular board exists. You have a lot of varied, how could we say it, varied approaches to how issues will be addressed that reflect the variety of people that live in this community. And I think that's, and we take that, you know, I believe everyone on this board, and like I say, all of us have a different approach to things, and we were, you know, we were elected by the community, and we will all, we will each represent this community as we feel best, and therefore you're going to have, like I said, a healthier approach to the hiring of the new general manager than I feel we've had in the past. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Lynn Moffitt. I'm new to this venue. I've been here 6 years, and I'm a chaplain. So maybe I qualify for your 2,000-year period. You brought up, Mr. Farmer, you brought up a really interesting point. I've dealt with boards for 40-plus years, and it's been my experience that while the board's individuals have unique ways and methods about approaching a subject, that it's so important when you're coming together as a board, especially when you're hiring someone new, that it come across as one voice and not five voices. So I would ask that you think about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Director Stadel.
I understand the comment in terms of one voice, and probably some of what you hear in the conversation or being able to identify the different ideas that the members of the board here have to come to that one voice is that we're regulated by the Brown Act and being able to have conversations ahead of time to deform the one voice bring forward.
Yeah, so I'm saying, well, each voice is unique.
Right.
Absolutely. But if you are moving toward giving a vision to a new general manager, then it should be one voice.
Yeah, every decision that the board makes, okay, even if it's a 3-2 vote, becomes the decision of the board and the voice of the board. And we all have that ingrained, okay, and we know that that's what we're supposed to be doing, okay? So you're right. The vision has got to be, even if it's a 3-2 vote, at the end of the day, it's something that we all have to get behind and we go for. And I do not expect the decision on the general manager to be 3-2. I expect it to be 5-0, or it's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, understood. I just meant after the fact, after the hire.
Right. Okay. Next step. We'll review the resumes, and we will get the resumes out to the other directors. And I will be sending out that information, okay? And you are not to reply to that one because that would be a violation, okay?
I have a question. Do directors want our... not necessarily every single note, but do you want to have, I guess we can't really on the brand, I'm just trying to see, like, if there's a certain application that we think didn't meet qualifications, should we be marking that for them? I mean, I'm just trying to...
Again, I think that would be a violation.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to get the right communication.
Yeah, and I'm not positive how I'm going to get this all to you yet, but I'm going to get it all to you. Okay, so you can look at
probably,
it.
Probably through the district council, maybe, or the acting GM thoughts?
Well, acting GM may apply, and I'm not sure that.
Okay, so maybe
she'd be the right
maybe district council.
But district council might be the right one to send it out. I'm just trying to think of how I would put it together in a file that's going to make it.
We can deal with that.
Oh, okay,
no,
you can do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Next session that we currently have scheduled is February 28th. Do we need a meeting prior to that, closed or open session, in order to talk about any of the other issues that we have?
We need to have an updated job description. How are we going to tackle that process, because we need to be able to, and I really like the idea of getting that we can use the evaluation form that we've used, which is fairly complete, but I'd like to see more obeys. Seems like we need to get those things in place so that when we're interviewing people, we have some idea of what to ask.
Right, they're going to ask for that, so we need to have that done. Agreed.
I don't know, on the job description?
I don't think just a job description doesn't need to be closed session, does it?
We can discuss it here without having a town hall type situation where there's give and take so that we can get things done. So we could have a meeting before the 28th, or do you want to wait until the 28th to get that done?
I'm
flexible.
Flexible, but maybe I think as president, couldn't you do something to put it on to call a special meeting if we determine tomorrow?
It. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that tomorrow and decide from there. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Final call. Ms. Richards. No, you have to be at the microphone, please.
So when are you making the 10 applications public? Just curious. At the 28th meeting or prior to that?
Probably prior to that. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Too.
Thank you.
Really quick. This is important.
I just mentioned to Acting Manager Monique Madrid that it was mentioned March 12th was the 6 month.
No.
It's April 12th.
Yes.
Okay, but earlier it was mentioned March 12th. So April 12th.
I think Director Howell used his five fingers instead of counting.
Okay, I was thinking if you thought it was March and the next meeting is February 28th, wow, that's really cutting it close. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, his second hand was occupied with something, so I only had one available.
All right, if there's no other discussion or anything, this meeting is closed.